For the good special this morning. We are in for a treat. Many of you know Brother Martin, and he's been here, no stranger to many, and preached here several times. And I'm looking forward to hearing him preach 27 years on in the world of evangelism is where he's been. And he said he started when he was 38, so 27 years ago. It's been a little while ago. And I enjoyed yesterday just getting to be around my dad and Brother Martin and Brother Sterling. And the three of them just listening to story after story after story about different people that they know. And, you know, that Baptist circle, independent Baptist, pretty small when you start talking about people that you know. But it's been a joy to see all three of them just staying right where they're supposed to be, just preaching the same thing, taking the same stand. And it's just a joy. From a young man, it's a joy to see that older generation just doing what we're coming behind to do. And so I'm looking forward to hearing him preach today. He's been battling a little bit of a sickness, and he had a COVID test yesterday, so you're all clear. So that get that out of the way. But he's had a cough that he's been battling. He's at camp for 4 weeks, and so he's just been on the go. And so I'm looking forward to hearing him preach this morning. And if you'll give your undivided attention this morning, I'll get it out once. Why here? Good to have you, Brother Martin.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, good morning. It's good to see y'all and good to be here. Always good to be back at Faith. Appreciate your preacher. I hate that I missed him this time, but good to be able to spend some time with the Braggs, and I love Brother Bragg and the family, and just a lot of good friends here. And thank the Lord for you all. Pray for you every week, and covet your prayers too. My wife Terry, why don't you stand up if you can? All right. And I thank the Lord that my wife's here with me, and she's going through some her own battles. She's got a bad knee right now and having injections and all that stuff. So it's getting old's not for wimps, that's for sure. And anyway, but I just wanted to mention real quick the book table. I have a book table with Bibles over on the right side of the aisleway that goes out. And then on the left side, there are some of the materials from Mercy and Truth, the journals, Bible journals, and things like that. I do not have any of the sets of Walk in Truth, but I did bring the most common selling ones, the ones that people like. So I've got some. These are the monthly devotionals, like this one's 31 Promises in the Word of God. This one, these are great for devotionals with your children on animals, 31 different animals, 31 lessons on prayer, 31 lessons on the home, 31 lessons in Proverbs, and I do have all of Brother Hanks's books on Proverbs back there, too. So if you're interested, we'll be back there afterwards. But again, it's good to be here, and always good to be back here in faith. I sure love your preacher, and he's been a dear friend for a lot of years, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Well, this morning, I want to preach to you on a subject that I was just telling Brother Michael that I have failed to preach on in my 26-plus years in evangelism. I've preached much on sin. I've preached much on hell. I've on the condition of our nation. I've preached much on that. I've preached on the home a lot. I've preached revivals a lot. I've preached missions conferences a lot. Just about everything, but just never a message just solely on this subject here. I've sure talked about it. I've alluded to it. I've talked about it in messages. I, of course, talk about it when I'm out soul winning and even speaking with family, but never developed a message just on this subject. You say, what are you going to speak on this morning, Brother Martin? I want to speak on heaven this morning, on heaven. You know, I was thinking about it, and the Lord laid this on my heart. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read one verse out of there. But when the Lord laid this on my heart, I'm just thinking, you know, it can be a pretty miserable existence as a Christian if we lose sight of the destination. Man, oh, man, what we've got to look forward to. And so oftentimes we get so confused and muddled up with everything else. We got to remember we're headed for a land. God's got a place prepared for us. I was looking at all the different songs. It was interesting that Luke had said we're going to sing a song about heaven this morning. And knowing what I was going to preach. And I just started grabbing a few of this. How about this one? You all know this chorus. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. Man, that's me. How beautiful heaven must be. Man, I'm looking forward to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Man, what a powerful verse. What a special thought. God prepared a place for us called heaven. The only way to get there is through his son, Jesus Christ. And I hope you know that you're going there. But we're just going to try to just rejoice a little bit in heaven this morning, if you would. The title of the message is real simple. It's just seven reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm sure you all got your own list that you could come up with, but I'm going to give you the seven reasons, biblical reasons, why I'm truly looking forward to heaven. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity and privilege you've given me to be able to be here today. And Lord, to fill the pulpit for one of my dear friends, I pray that you would bless him as he's over halfway around the world really right now. And I pray that you would bless him and Miss Angel and as they're there with Ben and Ashley and the family and all. And I pray that you would use him over there, Father. But I pray today for us as we're here. Lord, these people don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. And I pray that you would help me to be your vessel today. I pray that you would accomplish what you want to in our hearts and lives. And I pray that you would just encourage us a little bit this morning about heaven. And Father, my prayer is that if there's somebody here today that's never really truly been born again, that God, you'd prick their heart and you'd get them to see about how wonderful a place heaven's going to be. And God, that they would come to trust Christ before it's eternally too late. Father, we'll be very careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory you alone deserve. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm going to give you seven reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven. Everybody can come up with your own list. I get that. I understand that. But I would think that on everybody's list, if you would, the top thing is probably the same thing mine is. What is it? I'm going to get to see Jesus. Man, oh man. To be able to see my Savior face to face. To be able to see the one who gave himself. The one that went to that cross. The one that lived that perfectly sinless life and shed his precious blood so that you and I could be forgiven of our wretched state and our sinful condition and have a home in heaven. We're going to get to see him face to face. Boy, what a day that's going to be. I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking forward to it. Look at with me, if you would, at some scriptures about this in Revelation chapter 22. And notice what it says here. Revelation chapter 22. And it says here in beginning in verse number 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Boy, praise God for that. Amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And verse 4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Boy, I was thinking again of other songs and other choruses and things, and that little chorus, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Boy, to be able to see him. Amen. Well, what a day that's going to be. I was thinking about some other songs that are precious songs. How about that song? It was written by a name you may not recognize, a lady named Carrie Breck. And the song is entitled Face to Face. And I'm not trying to sing because you don't want to hear me sing. Amen. But just to give you the words, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. Boy, it's hard not to think about the one who, when she was just a little baby, 6 weeks of age, got an infection in her eyes, and a doctor prescribed a medication to try to draw the infection out of her eyes. It was a hot mustard poultice, and they put it on her eyes, and it drew the infection out, but it cauterized her eyes too. And she went blind at 6 weeks of age, and never able to see in this lifetime. And people would think about somebody like that and think, well, you know, boy, what a terrible life to live. But boy, she was one of the happiest persons that anybody would ever meet. Of course, I'm talking about that one named Fanny Crosby. I mean, what could somebody do that's blind from 6 weeks of age? Well, how about write about 9,000 hymns? How about write 2,000 poems? Hey, you want to be convicted? How about memorizing about a third of the Old Testament? How much do we have memorized? Blind, but and people would ask her throughout her life, boy, I bet you wish you could have met that doctor that did that. And she would say again and again, oh, I wish I could have met him. I wish I would have the opportunity not to berate him or not to get down on him, but to thank him for the part that he played in the providence of God in my life. Because were it not that I was blind, I would never have been able to accomplish the things that I was able to accomplish. And they said, well, you know, I bet you you wish, though, that, you know, that the things that you could have seen in this life and all the beauty that God gave us here. You didn't get to see any of that. She said, no, on the contrary. She said, I'm so thankful that I've never been able to see anything. Because when I open my eyes, when I'm able to see for the very first time, I'm going to see the one who gave himself for me. Man, what a testimony. What about this song she wrote? When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Face to face to be able to see him. Man, what a day that's going to be. Amen. Be able to see my Savior face to face. How about, I love this passage in Revelation 19. And man, I'm looking forward to this too. It says in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he did judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, hey, that's us, amen, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written in all capital letters, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whew. Boy, what a time that's going to be. Coming back with him. Amen. What are you saying? I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything greater, any greater reason to think of and to glory in heaven than I'm going to be able to see my Savior face to face. Amen. The second thing is kind of the opposite, I guess you'd say. What do you mean? Well, you can pardon my English or my French, but the devil ain't going to be there. Amen. Man, the one that has fought us, the one that has battled us, the one that has defeated us, the one that has joined up and yoked up with our flesh to cause us to stumble and to fall, and to, he ain't going to be there. Amen. Glory to God for that. In Revelation chapter 20, man, I love this verse. Verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Somebody ought to say glory to God. What are you saying, man? We don't have to worry about him anymore. Amen. He ain't going to be there. What a place that's going to be able to be in heaven with our Savior where the devil can't be. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 27 says this about heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, that's him, or maketh a lie, that's him, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Man, that assures it right there. His name's not written in the Lamb's book of life. It tells us over in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 44, that he's the father of all lies. Amen. What are you saying? Man, it's going to be a wonderful place that we don't have to worry about old Slewfoot anymore. Amen. We're going to be with our Savior. Get to see him face to face. We're going to be in a place where we don't have to worry about the devil going through all that he does to try to defeat us. But let me say third reason why I'm looking forward to heaven. You got to think about this for just a minute. Because of the things that will be no more. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? Well, look back, if you would, in Revelation 21. The things that will be no more. Revelation chapter 21 and beginning in verse 1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Notice in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What are you saying? Man, oh man. The things that will be no more. The very first one there, it says, God will wipe all tears away from our eyes. Man, oh man. In one little swipe of his hand, the precious Savior will wipe all those tears away from our eyes. You think about all the tears we've shed in our lifetime. Over so many different things. I mean, over the battles and struggles of this life. Over the situations that we have to endure and go through. Over the defeats that we face. But God's going to wipe all those away. We're not going to have any of that anymore. Amen. Not only that, it says in the very next part of the verse there, it says, and there shall be no more death. Man, glory to God. Thank God. Nobody dies up there. Amen. You know what that means? No more funerals. Amen. I hate funerals. I'm sorry. I hate them. And people say, well, it's a home going. It's a goodbye is what it is. And I don't like goodbyes. Amen, Brother Bragg. I don't. I mean, there's coming a day, though, when we ain't going to have to stand beside a casket anymore. How many of you stood beside a casket within the last year of somebody that you love or somebody that, I mean, there's hands all over the auditorium. You ain't ever going to have to face that again when we get to heaven. Amen. No more death. Hallelujah. Glory to God for that. It says the things that will be no more. No more tears. No more death. And then it says neither sorrow. Why did God put that in there just like that? Neither sorrow. Man, we think of all the sorrow that we deal with in life. I think of the heartaches of watching a child go astray. I think of the heartaches of watching that loved one pass away, the sorrow that comes along with that. And sometimes that sorrow is never relieved. And we battle it throughout our lifetime. But God says there's coming a day and there's a place where there will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying, it goes on to say next. And then it says, neither shall there be any more pain. Glory to God. Amen. What do you mean? No more pain? Man, I'm telling you. I went over to Brother Baggs last night, and me and him sat there for a little while, and we got up. And it took about 3-4 minutes to get up, straighten our bodies up and everything. What do you mean? The pain that's associated with this growing old and stuff. Amen. What are you saying? It says there'll be no more pain up there, man. I don't know. I might be carnal, but that's the first thing I think about. Amen. I ain't going to have to deal with that anymore. No more pain, for the former things are passed away. It goes on in Revelation 21 and verse number 25 says no more night. Why? Because he's the light of it. Hey, no more need for darkness. Amen. He's going to be the light of it. And we've already read there in Revelation 22 and verse 3, it says, no more curse. Hallelujah. The things that will be no more. I don't know about you, but I'm still looking forward to that place. Amen. We ain't going to have to deal with any of that anymore. The next one kind of goes along with what I just mentioned a second ago. But fourth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, a glorified body. Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I told you these are all Bible truths here. You know, the truth of the matter is we say, well, you know, the scriptures tell us more about hell than it does about heaven. It does. And you say, why is that? I believe because God knows in our finite mind we could never comprehend what he tries to tell us about heaven. Amen. He's got something really special prepared for us. But he wanted us to know how bad hell was so we would want to go to that place. Amen. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'd look in verse 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Amen. That's what it's talking about, that glorified state that we're going to have. Look back to 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. Think about what it says here about that. Look in verse number 42, if you would. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, down in verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, oh man, a glorified body one day. Man, get rid of that. You know what that means? No more sin. Amen. We won't be able to sin. Amen. Hallelujah for that. We won't be bringing grief to that Holy Spirit anymore. Amen. We'll be in that glorified state. And again, no more pain. What do you mean? I was thinking about oft times now, we still have one daughter that lives with us at home, Rebecca. She's 28 years old. And every now and then we'll go out to supper or something when we're in town or go. And she'll jump in with us and ride with us, and we'll get to the store. It's kind of like yesterday, Brother Bragg. We'll get to the store, and she'll jump out, you know, and me and Mom are opening the door, you know, making our way out. She'll look back and say, are y'all coming? You just wait, right, Brother Sterling? You just wait. As time begins to go on, you're going to find out. But one day, amen, one day I'll jump right up, amen. And I won't have to worry about that anymore. Why? Because of a glorified body. No more sin, no more pain, just no more limitations. Amen. You think about this mortal body. You think about that even our Savior was limited when He put Himself within this mortal body. We won't have to worry about that anymore. Man, what a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. Fifth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven. Oh boy, this might be the greatest of all. The great reunion. All those that have gone on before. You know what it says over there in Hebrews chapter 11, but let's look back there real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's a great cloud of witnesses going on before us. Man, I've heard this preached on so many times, I'm sure you have too, about that cloud of witnesses that's there. But that cloud of witnesses is real. Amen. And it's there. And all those that we see pass on now, and as we get older, I can honestly say there's more on the other side than there's here. The people that I've known and the people that we love and the people that there's more over on the other. And there is alive today, more alive than they've ever been in their life. Amen. And they're cheering us on, and they're just waiting for us to get there and meet up with them. Amen. Of course, looking forward to seeing Jesus, but I'm looking forward to seeing my mama again. Brother Sterling, just heard you say a little bit about your wife's testimony. I had a terrible background growing up. I probably went through a lot of what you went through, but had to stay in it. And I've shared some of my testimony here before. And earliest recollections of life are holding a pillow over my head, drowning out the screams of my mom as my dad was beating her. And just horrific things that we had to go through as children, gathering together, huddling together as children. We lived in an 800-square-foot home. It had four rooms. It had a living room. It had one bedroom. It had a bathroom. And it had a kitchen. And my dad sheetrocked the attic, and all of us kids lived in the attic. And I can remember times we would huddle together at night. My mom was so faithful to love us and to try to raise us right and to try to keep us in church. And my dad was out drinking, and he was a World War II vet, was discharged with a nervous breakdown. He was taking Valium, and he started drinking, made him just an insane person. And we would huddle together as little children and pray, God, please don't let Dad come home. Please don't let Dad come home. Because we knew what was going to happen as soon as he came home. But some of those nights, I would walk by my mom's bedroom, And she'd be sitting on the end of the bed there. And I'd say, Mom, what are you doing? And she'd say, I'm reading my Bible, son. And she'd say, come on. And she'd pat the bed, and I'd go in and sit down beside her, and she'd begin to read. Mom only had a seventh grade education. Her mom died when she was in seventh grade. She became mother to three siblings younger than her. And she would sit there and read the Bible to me. Brother Bragg, I've said this so many times. My mom had more theology, correct theology, than most theologians and Bible colleges today. Why? Because she read that book and believed what it said. She didn't correct it. She didn't change it. She said, son, this is the word of God. This is what it says. Amen. Knowing my dad was going to come in those nights and treat her the way he would, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for my mom, who was so faithful. Man, I thank God for her. I'm looking forward to seeing her. Amen. But by the way, my dad did get saved, and I'm looking forward to seeing my dad too. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Man, they're precious. I don't have no mother-in-law jokes. Sorry, guys. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. I had a wonderful father-in-law. Can you imagine? Just think about this, dads. You got a daughter, marries a guy. He's a fireman, you know, and that's what I was, a fireman for all these years, 15 years, got this great retirement coming, 5 years from retirement. And then he gets this harebrained idea that God's called him to go in the ministry. And he's taking his wife, your daughter, and their five children, and going into the ministry where he's not even going to get paid. What would you think as a dad? You're going to think about that. You know, he was the greatest supporter we had. He was thrilled to death when God called us to go in the ministry. He said, I'm not worried about it. I'm happy. I'm thankful. They supported us. He prayed for us. We didn't have a greater prayer warrior than her dad. Amen. Her mom, sweetest godly lady, just passed away last year, 93 years of age. Sweet godly lady. Looking forward to seeing my mother, my mother-in-law again. I'm looking forward to seeing my sister who passed away last year. Looking forward to seeing my brother-in-law who passed away this year. Looking forward to seeing my Uncle Charlie. You say, Uncle Charlie, who's that? He was old leather lung wind-sucking preacher in the hills of North Carolina that was preaching the night I got saved. Amen. At a family reunion. Amen. Man, we got together for a family. My mom had 11 brothers and sisters. They'd all get together. They'd get the instruments out. It always amazed me. Man, they'd play those instruments like they could not read a lick of music. They couldn't read, period. But they couldn't read a lick of music. But, man, they'd make those instruments walk and talk. And they'd get to singing the old hymns. I mean, literally, when our family got together, we'd have 100 people or more there. And they get to singing, and man, when you get something like that going, and there's a Baptist preacher around, man, he's going to get up and start preaching and testifying or something. Amen. And my uncle got up and started preaching Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that night, God convicted the heart of a little 9-year-old boy. And the altar that night was a little wooden chair they put in. My grandpa had a shack, literally a shack, in the hills of North Carolina, Smoky Mountains. And 4-room house, put the chair in the middle of the living room, and I knelt down at that little chair and trusted Christ as my Savior. Man, Uncle Charlie was such a blessing. He was a quiet man. If you heard him preach, Brother Bragg, you'd say, good night. But you try to talk to him, he was so shy and so quiet, couldn't hardly say anything to you. But he made a big impact in my life when God called me in the ministry, too. I didn't know who. I sought counsel from different people. Then I went to the hills of North Carolina, sought counsel with my Uncle Charlie. He gave me the best advice anybody gave me. We say, I'm looking forward to seeing Uncle Charlie again. Hey, by the way, I'm looking forward to seeing all the people the Bible tells us are waiting there for us, too. Amen. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing Noah. Amen. Talking to Noah a little bit, man. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to seeing David. Amen. One of my favorite Bible characters. I'm looking forward to seeing Daniel. What was it really like in that den of lions? I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing all those people. By the way, I'm looking forward to seeing all those that by the grace of Almighty God, He's given me the privilege to have a part in having them come to know the Savior that are going to be there too. I was thinking, I think I've shared this with you, but just a few years ago, I'd been out of the fire department over 20 years. Got a letter from one of the old firemen. Hadn't seen him in 20 years. Danny, I hope this letter finds you. I'm on a journey trying to find God. I thought if I got a hold of you, you could help me. Just the providence of God. The very next day I called him and talked with him. The day after that, I was going to be starting a meeting within 10 miles of his house. He came to the meeting. I was able to lead. It was a tent meeting, able to lead him to the Lord in the Sawdust Trail there. And since then, last year, I've been trying to get him faithful in a good church. But last year he came to a meeting I was preaching up there and my home church. Brother Vapersand there in Belleville, Michigan. And he asked if I'd baptize him. And Brother Vapersand let me baptize him last year. I'm looking forward to, hey, by the way, there's guys that I witnessed to in the fire department. And, sometimes you don't know what happens. And I was at a funeral. They were having a viewing for a firefighter that had passed away. And I was there for it. And I thought, I always take tracks with me while I pass some tracks out. You never know who you're going to see. And so I saw a guy I hadn't seen in 25 years. And we called him Smitty. His name was Bob Smith. And so I waited till he went through the viewing line there. And then I went up to him and I said, Smitty. And he goes, Danny. And he gave me a big hug. And we got talking a little bit. And his wife, I heard that his wife had passed away. And he was a pretty rough character. I mean, he was nice, but if you try to witness to him, man, he shut you right down. He didn't want nothing to do with it. And so I tried to witness to him, but never got anywhere with it. His wife passed away. I told him, I said, man, I just want to let you know. I've been praying for you, praying for the situation with losing your wife and all that. He said, Danny, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And then he's tapped me on the stomach, and he goes, hey, guess what? I said, what? He said, you ain't going to believe it. I said, what? He said, I've been going to church. And I said, you have? And I'm thinking, okay, what kind of church have you been going to? I'll tell you, this is the kind of guy he was when he retired. Him and his wife moved to Las Vegas. Okay, and that's when she died. That's where they were. Then he moved back to Michigan. And so he said, yeah. I said, where are you going? And he said, well, I moved back to Michigan here. He said, I'm over in Chelsea. And he said, not only that, I'm going Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I said, what church are you going to? And I only know one good Baptist church there. And he said, Faith Baptist Church. I said, Smitty, did you get saved? He said, I sure did. I said, man, praise the Lord, man. No, I didn't lead him to the Lord. But he's going to be in heaven too. Amen. What do you mean? Hey, he told me this. He said, hey, Danny, I got married, saved, and baptized all in 3 months. What about that? What are you saying? I'm telling you, this is going to be a great reunion. There's so many people on the other side. I can't wait to see. There's people that we have witnessed to. We didn't even know they got saved. Share one more with you real quick. I was preaching in Northwest Ohio, probably 8-10 years after I'd left the fire department. Little tiny country church out in the middle of nowhere. They put a little brochure out saying, come hear the former fireman that's fighting the fires of hell or something like that. So, and little tiny country church. I'm preaching. Afterwards, an older lady walks up to me and she goes, you're the firefighter who was from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you had to have known my grandson then. I said, who's that? And she said, Paul Barnes. I said, Paul Barnes, man, you wouldn't know that name. But to me, right away, Paul Barnes, he ran a fireman. We worked 24-hour shifts, 24 on, 48 off. And he had he bought a farm. And he started doing pickles in the summer, pumpkins in the fall. Paul was a wonderful guy, just a great guy. But he was lost as a goose in a snowstorm, man, I'm telling you. And you witnessed to him, and he'd, oh, come on, Danny, I'm a good guy. You know God's going to let me in when I get. I said, Paul, I know you're a good guy, but you're not saved. You need to get saved. Oh, Danny, God's going to let me in. Well, anyways, like back to the story. The lady says, did you hear what happened to him? And I said, yes, I did. He was mowing his neighbor's yard, an older lady, and with a tractor, and it was wet, and the tractor slid and flipped, and he fell out, rolled on top of him, and killed him. And she said, man, I wish you could have been there. And I said, ma'am, I wish I could have been there too. And she said, it was so sweet. And when she said that, I thought, so sweet. And she could see the look on my face. And she said, oh, I bet you didn't hear. I said, what? She said, Paul got saved 6 months before he died. I said, man, it sent shivers down my spine. I'm thinking, well, you didn't win in blood. I don't care. He's going to be in heaven. Amen. I'm going to get to see him again. What are you saying? Man, it's going to be a great reunion. Sixth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, because it's going to be greater than what we can even fathom. We can't fathom it. We already read one verse, Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Let me just read that real quick to you. It says this. Isaiah 64 and verse 4 says, It's a like verse to 1 Corinthians 2:9. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Wow. God knew that we would never be able to fathom it, so he didn't try to put it in his word. It's going to be so much greater than what we can comprehend. Can you imagine having your own mansion? Amen. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful place. And the seventh reason, closing this thing, the seventh reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, it's eternal. It's eternal. There's no end to it. Praise God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the passage in the Bible that I always say it gets a bad rap. You say, what do you mean? It seems like the only time we ever talk about it is at a funeral. And everybody's going through so much mourning that they don't even think about what this verse is saying. But these verses are powerful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Think of this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What? Comfort one another with the fact that it's an eternal place. Amen. We'll ever be with the Lord. We're not going to ever have to worry. By the way, no more goodbyes. Amen. I hate goodbyes. I already said that. I don't like goodbyes. I don't tell people goodbye. I say, see you later. See you here, there, and there. I don't say goodbye. Amen. I'm looking forward to that wonderful place where there'll be no more goodbye. By the way, also, it tells us in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 5 and 6 that there will be no more time. Thank God for that. I mean, we operate on time right now. That place, you can throw them clocks away. Amen. Some of you, that might be the greatest thing I've said today. Why? Because you ain't never going to be late no more. Amen. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home, ransomed free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And a sweet by and by. Well, what a wonderful place it's going to be. I was thinking this morning of just all of these different songs about heaven. I was thinking of that song. I'm going to have you stand real quick, if you would, and sing this song with me, if you would. And then we'll have the altar time. We'll be done. Page 170. Can we got somebody who can play that? Do we have any pianists in here? She'll try for us. I love this song. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I'm sad goodbyes will there be spoken. Amen. For time won't matter anymore. Amen. I love this second verse. How many of you believe it's a real place? How many of you witnessed anybody about it this week? How many of you trying to tell people there's a place called heaven? How many of you being faithful to it? Do you know for sure that you're on your way there? Well, I tell you, all these sweet things we talked about, and you hear all these people, maybe you're sitting there thinking, man, what is this place all about? Man, God wants you to go there. He wants you to be there. That's a wonderful place. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, boy, you come during this altar time and you can get that nailed down for sure. Maybe you just need to come to an altar and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for heaven. Musician plays. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Brother Martin, nobody's looking around. Brother Martin, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I sure would like to know that, if I can know that. Would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You'd slip a hand up. I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? I'm not sure that heaven's my home, but I thank you. I appreciate that. Anybody else? I'm not sure heaven's my home, but I sure want to know that, if I could know that. Would you slip your hand up with this one that's raised their hand? Anybody else? Pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that. I'm going to pray for you. Okay, there's another one. I'm going to pray for you too. Anybody else? Listen, the greatest thing you can do is make a decision today to allow us to share the truth of God's Word with you. If you're not sure about that, boy, we want you to come. I'm going to pray for you. While I'm praying for you, would you come? If you raised your hand and said you're not sure, would you come? We've got people that can take the Bible and share the truth of the Word of God with you. Why don't you come as I pray for you? Father, I pray for these two that have raised their hand. They're not sure they're on their way to heaven. Would you give them the courage to step out and come forward? Help us to be able to share the truth of heaven with them. Nobody's looking around still. If you raise your hand and ask me to pray for you, would you just look at me? If you raise your hand at me, don't you want to know? It's the greatest thing in all the world. Why don't you come? Why don't you give us an opportunity? You raised your hand back there in the back. Why don't you come? Greatest thing in all the world to get this thing settled. Boy, there's so much that goes on in your heart when you don't know for sure. But God wants you to know. It's the greatest thing in all the world to know that you know that you know that you're on the way to heaven. Well, why don't you come? I'd walk across broken glass to get you to come. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? There's still time. There's people still at the altar. You know, the truth of the matter is, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you never know when the last opportunity, when God says, that's the last time I'll speak to your heart. That's the last time I'll talk to you. He's not obligated to. He says His Spirit will not always strive with man. God wants you to be saved. Why don't you come? I extend the invitation again for those that raised their hand that maybe just didn't feel like you could walk forward. Would you please come to me afterwards? Please come up to me. Give me an opportunity to share the truth with you. I'd love to. I'd love to take the time to do that.